It's Thursday, June 18th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. You know I've got to say something about that Anderson Cooper 360 special last night. First thing that comes to my mind is how sad I am for Madeline Martinez of Oregon Normal to not only have her entire interview apparently end up on the cutting room floor, but also to have her medical marijuana meetings implied that they were run by Paul Stanford. We've got a whole lot more about that show from last night coming up a little bit later in the podcast. Before we get to all that, I do want to give some shout outs to the great people in the United States who are wanting to start a normal chapter and are just looking for more of you to help them get started. We've got folks in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. And just a little inside information here. I've got a great contact in Washington, D.C. who may be starting a chapter right in our nation's capital. So if you're in that area, Northern Virginia, Arlington, that whole Washington, D.C. area, send me an email at chapters@normal.org and I'll get you in touch with them. We've also got people emailing me from New Hampshire looking to get involved there, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Greenville, North Carolina, and other places in North Carolina as well. I've been getting a lot of emails from there. And also folks in northern Florida that want to get involved. So if you're in those areas, send me an email to chapters@normal.org and we'll get you hooked up. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got great news from our nation's capital as Representatives Barney Frank and Ron Paul have reintroduced their act to end federal penalties for adult marijuana possession. We've got a story about cops questioning healthy people that seem to be getting medical marijuana. I'll give you my take on that. New Mexico is opening up its first medical marijuana dispensary, and my editorial shaming CNN and Anderson Cooper for their treatment of Paul Stanford on yesterday's America's High special. And speaking of Paul Stanford, he is our guest in our interview segment right after the news. Paul Stanford will be talking about how he was characterized on CNN and what you didn't see on the report. For our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we've got Rockin' Thursday music from Green Fever and their song My Dad Is Busted. And for our Southern California scene, we head down to Los Angeles, California to visit with our friend Terry Joyce, and she brings in comedian Laura Levitas to join us, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Two more days of that Anderson Cooper special coming up. I wonder how many scary things they can fit in the next couple of shows. I've got the videos from the first 3 days posted at stash.normal.org if you want to check them out for yourself. And this Friday on the Cannabis Common Sense Show, that's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Pacific, myself, Madeline Martinez, and Paul Stanford will be talking about that show live and taking your calls at 503-288-4448. It's available live in Portland, Denver, Boulder, Seattle, and a bunch of other locations. It's also available live on the internet at ustream.tv. We'll put a window up to it at stash.normal.org 1 hour before showtime. We're kicking ass and taking names, and we've got truth, facts, and logic on our side. Now, only if we had the DEA's budget. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Representative Barney Frank introduces bill to end federal penalties for personal pot possession. Washington, D.C. Massachusetts Democrat Barney Frank, along with co-sponsor Texas Republican Ron Paul, will reintroduce legislation today to limit the federal government's authority to arrest and prosecute minor marijuana offenders. The measure, entitled An Act to Remove Federal Penalties for Personal Use of Marijuana by Responsible Adults, would eliminate federal penalties for the personal possession of up to 100 grams, over 3.5 ounces, of cannabis, and for the not-for-profit transfer of up to 1 ounce of pot, making the prosecutions of these offenses strictly a state matter. Under federal law, defendants found guilty of possessing small amounts of cannabis for their own personal use face up to 1 year imprisonment and a $1,000 fine. Passage of this act would provide state lawmakers the choice to maintain their current penalties for minor marijuana offenses or eliminate them completely. Lawmakers would also have the option to explore legal alternatives to tax and regulate the adult use and distribution of cannabis free from federal interference. To date, 13 states have enacted laws decriminalizing the possession of marijuana by adults. Minor marijuana offenders face a citation and a small fine in lieu of criminal arrest or time in jail. Quote, "The federal government has much more important business to attend to than targeting, arresting, and prosecuting adults who use marijuana responsibly," Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre said. "This is an issue that ought to be handled by the states, not the feds," end quote. According to nationwide polls, 3 out of 4 voters believe that adults who possess marijuana should not face arrest or jail, and 1 out of 2 now say that cannabis should be regulated like alcohol. The reintroduction of the Frank-Paul bill comes 1 week after the duo reintroduced H.R. 2835, the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act of 2009, which seeks to halt federal interference in states that have enacted medical marijuana laws. And just days after Representative Mark Kirk, Republican of Illinois, called for federal legislation to sentence certain first-time marijuana offenders to 25 years in prison. St. Pierre continued, quote, "The U.S. Congress has a definite choice. They can choose the path of compassion, fiscal responsibility, and common sense by supporting Barney Frank's and Ron Paul's efforts, or they can continue down America's failed drug war path by endorsing Representative Kirk's draconian legislation. It is abundantly clear which direction the voters wish to go. Will their elected officials follow?" End quote. Additional information about the Act to Remove Federal Penalties for Personal Use of Marijuana by Responsible Adults is available at Normal's Take Action Center at norml.org. Cops question medical marijuana cards for seemingly healthy people. Modesto, California, News10.net. Probation officers in Stanislaus County noticed something the last several months when doing probation checks. First, they discovered more medical marijuana cards on people who are seemingly healthy. Chief Probation Officer Jerry Powers said, quote, "This person had a medical recommendation for marijuana because of a bad back, but he had off-road motorcycles, jet skis, and a wakeboard boat. He seemed to be in perfectly good physical condition," end quote. Did it ever occur to you, Officer Powers, that it's his use of medical marijuana for his back condition that allows him the movement to be able to motorcycle, jet ski, and wakeboard? Perhaps that the outdoor activities the man is able to enjoy are proof that medical marijuana is a superior pain remedy? Look, NFL players take massive amounts of NSAIDs and opioid painkillers, and yet many of them are seemingly healthy fellows who enjoy activities like motorcycling, jet skiing, and wakeboarding. Does that concern you, officer? This is another marijuana prejudice I like to call the medicine of last resort scenario. It's the idea that if you're desperately, visibly sick and approaching death, and we've tried every other side effect-laden pharmaceutical on you, then, and only then, should we let you try the demon reefers. It's particularly vexing when you know, like we do, that marijuana often should be the medicine of first resort, especially considering the toxicity and side effects from most pharmaceuticals. The prohibitionists often trot out this idea of the patient in perfectly good physical condition acquiring medical marijuana as if it's all a fraud. It makes me wonder what special powers they have that allow them to identify by sight alone someone who doesn't have epilepsy, irritable bowel, PTSD, leukemia, Alzheimer's, chronic nausea, and so on. America's first state-certified medical marijuana dispensary set to open in New Mexico. From JoinTogether.org. The first and only state-approved grower of medical marijuana in the U.S. will begin dispensing the drug to patients in New Mexico as early as the end of summer. The New Mexico Health Department is prohibited by law from revealing the identity or location of the grower, but the producer is based in Sandoval County, according to the Santa Fe Reporter. Deborah Buesmeyer, a spokesman for the health department, confirmed that the grower is currently working on a supply and that there are 11 additional nonprofit groups awaiting approval to grow medical marijuana. To be approved to grow marijuana in New Mexico, a nonprofit must have a staff doctor and a strong system of security. Restrictions for producers include a limit to how many plants they may grow. For the past 2 years, New Mexico's medical marijuana patients have had to depend on their own supply of the drug or turn to illegal dealers.
Well, I were the president of this land, you know I declare total war on the pushing man. If he'd run, and I'd kill him with my Bible and my razor and my gun. God damn! Oh, the pushing. God damn! The pushing.
Paul Stanford, a legal pot pusher with a $3 million business? CNN, Anderson Cooper, shame on you. Editorial by Radical Russ. Last night on Anderson Cooper 360, as part of the continuing series America's High, the Case for and Against Pot, CNN managed to malign this podcast sponsor and a personal friend of mine, Paul Stanford of the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation. I knew we were in for something sinister when during the preceding Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, Mr. Cooper promoted the segment by saying we'd meet, quote, the man some call King Bong, end quote, a reference to a derogatory moniker given by the headline writers of the Willamette Week. During the Joe Johns interview of Mr. Stanford, The on-screen graphics called him legal pot pusher, and a bullet point showed he runs a, quote, $3 million business, end quote. Now, according to my dictionary, a pusher is a noun, a person or thing that pushes, or a peddler of illegal drugs. And peddler is a person who sells from door to door or in the street, or a person who tries to promote some cause, candidate, or viewpoint. So, the only way Paul Stanford is a pusher is if he is a person who tries to promote the cause of illegal drugs. Technically true, since he produces a TV show and sponsors this podcast, both dedicated to promoting what is defined as an illegal drug, as in a pusher for legal pot. But we both know what you really meant, and it's that Hoyt Axton lyric wailed in the late 60s by John Kay and Steppenwolf, "The pusher is a monster, good God, he's not a natural man," as in a legal pusher of pot. Not a pusher for legal pot. Combined with the graphic of owns a $3 million business, your viewers will be led to the conclusion that Paul Stanford is able to legally sell marijuana and become a millionaire. Will they hear Joe John's voice explanation that his business is a medical marijuana consultation and referral business, and that he gives away medical marijuana? Or will they see legal pot pusher owns a $3 million business and a screen full of pot plants? They won't ever know from your report that Paul Stanford doesn't sell so much as a gram of marijuana, but he gives away literally hundreds of pounds of it, or that nearly all his money is plowed back into the marijuana movement while he lives a very frugal lifestyle. However, Paul does have his talk down, especially when he smacks down the idea that the social costs of legalized marijuana would outweigh the tax revenue and savings by saying, quote, "That's assuming that marijuana is like alcohol and tobacco, and it isn't. Marijuana is a healthy alternative and much safer than alcohol and tobacco," end quote. I'm still waiting for someone to point out that people are already smoking marijuana now, so we're absorbing any social costs already without gaining any tax revenue at all. And we're spending money on a fruitless effort to prohibit marijuana. That $20 billion number CNN flashed on the screen is how much new marijuana users, above and beyond the 22 million current annual users, would have to cost us before that theory makes any sense. And even if it did, then you'd have to explain why we're so eager to take such a loss on alcohol and tobacco, but not demonstrably safer marijuana. The final absurd point about the cartels ramping up their sales of meth and coke just made me laugh. Wouldn't it be nice if people weren't buying one of your business's products anymore and you could just ramp up their demand for some of your other products? Who are these cartels going to sell coke and meth to? This not-so-subtle stereotyping is beneath you, CNN and Anderson Cooper. You know millions of people watching your broadcast primarily get their information from the pictures, not the audio. While I'm happy you prominently displayed the addiction rates for various drugs, and that Dr. Gupta seems to have gotten some education since he was writing Why I Would Vote No on Pot for Time magazine, you needlessly slandered a good man who has helped thousands of the most vulnerable Americans and is employing hundreds of dedicated activists.
So here's the deal. We've got this new president who seems really cool. I mean, the guy is well-spoken, he's open-minded, he seems to listen to people, and he's extremely well-educated. I mean, he graduated from Harvard Law School. But this is a guy who's admitted to smoking marijuana, that illegal leaf that just ruins people's lives. How could the president of the United States have ever done such a thing? Maybe because he knew it was less addictive than both alcohol and nicotine, and knew it can be consumed responsibly. But it's probably been a while since he smoked a joint. So if I had one thing to say to Barack Obama about cannabis, it would probably be something like, "Hey dude, I'm one of 80 million people in your country who has smoked marijuana, and so are you." Or maybe I would say over 700,000 people were arrested in this last year for marijuana-related charges. Or something like, "Let's re-examine this law altogether." Or possibly that $1.3 billion is spent annually fighting marijuana, not including the cost of prison management and construction. Or I might just end up saying, "Hey man, you know the facts. Let's fix this mess."
legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our normal daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations. All this week here on the stash, we've been really excited to follow the CNN special report, America's High, the Case for and Against Pot. And today we're speaking with one of the stars of Wednesday's show, Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation. Paul, welcome back to the stash.
Thanks. I'm glad to be back.
Oh, good to have you back. And you're in Michigan right now?
I am. In fact, just yesterday, one of our doctors, Dr. Eric Eisenbud, testified for a couple of hours in the first medical marijuana hearing in Michigan. And immediately after his testimony, the judge threw the charges out against an elderly medical marijuana couple, one with chronic pain and degenerative disc disease and another with ovarian cancer. And it's the first time that it happened in Michigan, so it made some good press here in the local news and TV stations and newspapers.
Now, of course, everybody here at the Stash is really interested in your point of view regarding the CNN report last night. Specifically, the thing I wanted to address was the chyrons, the graphics they had on that said legal pot pusher.
Legal pot pusher.
Yeah.
Designation, and I didn't like the fact that they used the term originally coined by the Willamette Week, King Bong.
Yeah.
I don't like kings personally. I'm not a monarchist, and I certainly don't want to be one. They said also that I was trying to take over the marijuana industry, which is far from the truth, trying to, help create one, obviously, it's a movement that no single individual could possibly, undertake. It takes a community. When they first contacted me last week, I had originally read some of the things they had on the web about how Sanjay Gupta was going to discuss it, and I recalled that, a couple of years ago during the marijuana votes to tax and regulate the sale of marijuana that SAFER in Colorado and MPP in Nevada put on the ballot in 2006, that Sanjay Gupta had opposed those in an article that was pretty uneducated about medical marijuana. He apparently just thought THC was the only thing in marijuana. So I originally told the CNN reporter, Joe Johns, that I wanted to debate Gupta and that I gave him, lots of information about CBD and how CBD is really the main medicinal component in medical marijuana that takes care of pain, spasms, seizures, neurodegenerative diseases, gastrointestinal ailments, and glaucoma. Where THC, which is responsible for the high, really only helps nausea as an appetite stimulant and psychological conditions like post-traumatic stress syndrome or anxiety and depression. And I noticed during Sanjay Gupta's piece, it immediately followed mine, and that Gupta had changed his tune to a large regard.
Oh, yeah.
He obviously had got that information. He even said once in his interview that, he was responding to information from Joe Johns. And Johns was the one who had done that interview. And you could tell they'd watched. They edited out a lot of stuff. I told him I didn't like being called King Bong and that I don't use a bong. And I mainly, in terms of the first shot in vaporizing, I wanted to demonstrate the difference between smoking. And they didn't say anything at all about that. It just immediately showed me taking a puff. And
right.
They asked me what my reaction was, and I gave a brief description there. But
Then
I was disappointed as well that Oregon Normal didn't get the recognition they deserved. They showed an Oregon Normal meeting, and they didn't say that it was an Oregon Normal meeting. Madeline Martinez had spent a lot of time and was interviewed extensively, but apparently that all got put on the cutting room floor,
Yeah.
That's another example of how it takes a community. We are a community effort here, and we're closely aligned with Normal. And in every community we work in, we work with local activists. And it's the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association. You go to Spokane, it's a group called Spokannabis. You go to Nevada, it's Nevada Normal. In Michigan, Montana, it's Patients United, Patients and Families United, and Montana Normal. the Mastersons who run that there. So we try to support groups in every community that we work in.
Sure, sure.
And to help patients interface with their local community.
Yeah. You know, what I thought was really disappointing about it is knowing how people respond to media, knowing how people learn and take in information. Most people get the story from the visual. They get it from what they see. And so
I noticed they kept making it look like I sold marijuana.
Exactly.
You get like $3 million business and pot pusher, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing that came across.
And
as you know, I give away my crop for free. I don't trim any of it. I figure the patients can do that themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I do that specifically because it's not a commercial product till it's trimmed, and I just want to give it all away.
Yeah.
It's a whole new paradigm, and that's what I told them, too. You know, that's a lot of good things they didn't use. But,
yeah,
you know, I know in terms of the people who came here, the reporter Joe Johns, he has bosses and masters and fact-checkers, and he has to, you know, follow the directions of his employer. And
sure.
It was also odd, the piece that they put on their website was about half the length of the one that they showed on the TV show, and they took out a lot of good quotes from about how marijuana is safer than alcohol and tobacco.
Right.
In the web version as opposed to the TV version. We will have clips and a whole showing of the TV version on our show tomorrow night, and hopefully you'll be there, Russ.
I will be there.
You know, it was pretty good, and I really can't complain, or at least shouldn't, you know. I got the word out there, and a lot of times they say about media, it's if they spell your name right.
There you go. Well, yeah, I was disappointed by the visual of it and the continued inference or implication here that you were involved in selling marijuana when you're involved in helping people with medical conditions find doctors.
They did show us giving away free plants and said we were doing that. You know, there's a good clip of Sister Sativa and Gypsy. They're giving plants away at the weekly Oregon Normal meeting. Like I said, I was just a little disappointed that they didn't give full attribution to Oregon Normal and the cause. But we did get a chance to talk about our proposal to tax and regulate marijuana.
True.
And I'm very excited about that. We'll have to talk more about that in the future.
Now, have you been following the rest of the day's programmings on this Anderson Cooper 360 special?
I have. I was really excited by Melissa Etheridge's piece. I thought she did an excellent job and talked about how she continues to vaporize. And Rob Campia did a decent job countering the Partnership for Drug-Free America's attorney.
Mm-hmm. How about the piece on the marijuana being grown in the national forests?
Well, you know, that's an unfortunate byproduct of prohibition is what I'd say. You know, when marijuana is taxed and regulated, they won't be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, if you could grow it outdoors in big fields, the price could get down to $5 an ounce in terms of the production cost. And, you know, because I can grow it outdoors on plants that can produce 5 to 12 pounds. You know, I put a mature plant out in an early, like at this time of year, and by October, we'll have a 15-foot-tall marijuana tree. Eventually, when we can tax and regulate the market, the price is going to drop dramatically. And another thing they didn't cover was they're talking about industrial hemp. I told them, you know, that I truly believe the reason marijuana is illegal is to protect the petrochemical industry, and because hemp biodiesel is the most productive plant oil product out there by a factor of more than 3 to 1.
Right.
And so once marijuana is taxed and regulated, hemp products and hemp biodiesel and paper and fabric and building materials will become economic realities that will displace a lot of the ones that are currently dominated by petrochemical products.
There was another segment, you know, and it kind of goes along this paradigm that the news media seem to have of being fair and balanced and saying there's always two sides to every story. And to counteract Melissa Etheridge, you know, being so positive about medical marijuana, they found this so-called Lisa person. Did you get to see that segment, and what did you think?
I did. Well, you know, it was telling that she said she was in favor of the program. You know, and some people do have problems with marijuana. People who have endurance or a tendency towards schizophrenia, sometimes it can induce a psychotic reaction. However, for other schizophrenics, it can be helpful. And it's definitely helpful for patients with depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress syndrome. But she obviously fell into one of those categories of a dependent personality type. Thought the most interesting thing was, even though she had such a negative problem with the use of medical marijuana, that she was still in favor of it. One of the things they said, though, that she was spending $1,000 a month. And, you know, in California dispensaries, I could see $1,000 a month might not buy you even 2 ounces. Now, we give away 2 ounces a month to all of our patients that we're caregivers for, but these dispensaries in California charge these folks over $1,000 a month for the same 2 ounces that we give to our patients in Oregon for free. Really, the economic regime of prohibition that caused the financial problems. You know, she obviously was using too much cannabis, but people eventually quit, and she obviously, you know, took the path that was best for her, but realized that medical marijuana provides powerful medicine for a lot of people.
Yeah, that you hit on something that I was really hoping to see on that CNN report, was this idea, this system here in Oregon where we're just giving it away. It's just given freely. It's an amazing thing for people that haven't been around it.
And paradigm. That's exactly what I told Joe Johns, and it's a lot of fun. It's very spiritually rewarding. It's not cash rewarding. You know, it costs money, but it's certainly, we're blessed to be able to do it, and it's a real blessing to participate in.
So for tomorrow night's show, Cannabis Common Sense, you can find it on the web at ustream.tv. Friday nights, every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific. I know it's on a lot of cable outlets. Can you tell the folks which cable outlets they can catch it on?
Well, in Portland and Seattle and Denver and Salem and Medford, Oregon, Boulder, Colorado, Oakland County, Michigan, more and more. And if you want to help put it out there, just, you know, drop us an email and we'll tell you how to get it on in your local cable system for free.
All right. What's the email address?
The best one is crrh97286@yahoo.com. That's probably the best one.
Okay, we'll get a copy of that up on the blog as well, so people can write that down. And it's also a live show where we accept call-ins, and you can catch it live on ustream.tv on the internet. We'll also have a window for it up at the blog at stash.normal.org. If you'd like to call into the show, I believe the phone number is 503-288-4448. Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, wow. And so much for that short-term memory defect, huh?
Yeah, really.
Well, Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, we thank you so much for sponsoring the podcast and for standing
I'm
up.
I'm proud to be able to do it.
And being a good representative.
Doing great work there, as is normal. You know, I've been a normal guy for 30 years now, and, you know, I'm just grateful to participate.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on the show, Paul.
Sounds good.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML.org.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. It's Rockin' Thursday, and we hear from Marijuana Music Awards co-founder Green Fever with the great song, My Dad is Busted. Green Fever's music is inspired by living in Nimbin, the Australian equivalent of Woodstock. Nimbin has a marijuana economy and continues to be a loud voice in the activist movement after 30 years, with a foundation of more than two generations growing up in the area. Green Fever's music puts across a strong message in a lighthearted country rock comedy style. You can hear more of Green Fever's music and grab the CD at myspace.com/greenfeverrockroll. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Green Fever with My Dad is Busted.
living law, gonna see the man. Said, girl, don't you hold your breath, try to understand. The cops have taken photographs, shot them from the sky. You're a believer, you can see the pigs do fly. Your daddy's busted. Your daddy's busted by the police. Your daddy's busted. Your daddy's down upon his knees. Well, mama counts her blessings in the house.
She counts them one, two, three.
My daddy's busted. My daddy's busted by the law. My daddy's busted. My daddy's busted now for sure. Well, mama's getting lessons on guitar from the man next door.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana, and over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Weed.
That's Hooey Valley, Hooey Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Well, it seems like we've been away for a while with going to Aspen and having some repeats, so it's been a long time before we've gotten our Southern California scene with Terry Joyce. And hey, Terry, I'm so glad to be talking to you again. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I missed you.
You missed me?
Aww. Yeah. I'm doing well. Been thinking a few things about, I don't know if you know, but there's a new form of pill on the market. It's the bitterness pill. Have you heard about that?
The bitterness pill? No, I haven't.
Yeah. Now, it's true. It sounds ridiculous, but if you, there's something called post-traumatic bitterness disorder.
Okay.
Seriously, and they've made a pill for it that's to help people stop being bitter. And you know, with all the side effects, and I'm just thinking, you know, first of all, if you're bitter, you know, you need some therapy, and number two, why not just smoke a big fatty?
Well, yeah, why not?
Why not? You know, it's just, how far are we going to, what diseases are we going to come up with from the, you know, the Drug Administration that we could be gouged with?
Yeah. Before we go too far, we should introduce your guest, because we always have a guest here on our Southern California scene.
We do. We do. I had the opportunity to meet a very funny comedian. She just got done touring with for 3 years with Lisa Lampanelli.
Okay.
And yeah, and she just recently relocated or located to Southern California. We are actually working on a woman version of the marijuana logs, and her name is Laura Levitas, and we have her as a guest today.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hey, welcome
Hi.
To the Daily Audio Stash. So you just recently moved to Southern California, that's right?
I did, yes.
Okay, so where are you from originally?
I'm from New York City.
Oh, wow. Okay, so from New York City to Southern California, and Terry was telling me also that you're a longtime supporter of the herb.
Oh, you betcha.
So
you betcha.
So what's it like for you, you know, having been in the city and having to, you know, go through all the troubles and tribulations you have to get weed and smoke weed? And now you're in Southern California where there's, what, 600 dispensaries down there? What's it like?
Amazing. It's amazing. It's a little bit hard when you've, like, grown up with a drug dealer, though, to kind of not have that. Like, I was selling my Ritalin to my drug dealer for weed, so I can't do that here.
Right.
But, it's you guys take pot, like, really seriously here. Like, in New York, like, I would basically, it's not that hard to get weed in New York, actually. I just had someone come to my house, and they're like, you either want Northern Lights or bubblegum. And I'd be like, okay, here, I gotta be honest with you, I have no idea what's going on. Like, you almost need a pot tutor in Southern California to, like, coach you through everything to, like, it's almost like, because I need to get my medical marijuana card. Like, I've had just people, like, giving me stuff. Because I need help. I really do. Like, I don't know one strain from another, how to do this. You guys are crazy with your pot here. Like, I did a medical marijuana benefit a couple of weeks ago, and they gave me, a couple of people gave me, like, pot brownies, and it was this tiny little brownie. I'm like, this isn't going to do anything to me.
Uh-oh.
I woke up, me and my boyfriend were like, oh, we're going to split this pot brownie. It was tiny.
Yeah.
I've never been so, like, fucked up in my whole entire life. Like, it was amazing. Like, I was, like, seeing shit. But it was like a quarter. This thing was, like, a quarter.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know how, like, you get high and, like, you stop usually? Like, this just kept going and going and going and going.
Yeah.
Like, I had to have that talk to myself, like, you're only on drugs. You're only on drugs. You're fine. You're fine. But if you come, if you have a tutor, you don't know that.
Right.
You don't know that this stuff really gets you screwed up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You really need, like...
You got to watch out for the edibles. That's for sure. You got to watch out for the edibles. The brownies are something amazing. I know up here, I'm up here in Portland, Oregon, by the way, and we got somewhat of a similar situation. I know one of the things when I first moved, I was originally from Idaho, and so when I first moved to Portland and ended up in a smoking circle, it was almost like you know that old relay race game you used to play as a kid, Duck Duck Goose. You know, you try to chase the kid around the circle. It's like that, but with pipes. Like the two pipes go around the circle chasing each other, and if you got caught with two in your hands, well, I guess you're the winner. Right? I don't know what else to say. Have you experienced anything like that as far as the social aspect of cannabis users, how they're different in New York versus L.A.?
Okay, everybody here is so nice and so friendly, and I've been invited to so many things, like even at that medical marijuana, I met so many people were so nice and so forthcoming, like, oh, you're new here, try this, and everybody just, like, passes it around, and there's always, like, it's so social. Like, I gotta tell you, like, if you don't have any friends in Southern California, you should just become a pot smoker, because you'll immediately have 20 friends. You know what I mean? Like, there's always something going on at one of the clubs that I constantly get invited to. And it's so nice. My favorite thing that I found in California is that these people make me laugh. I can't believe it's not pop butter people. Those people who invented that. It's hysterical. But you know what's so funny about Ponder? The one thing about Southern California is, like, I don't know if it's like that in Portland, Oregon. I think people just have found a way to put pot in practically everything. And pretty much everything. Like, I think the only thing next is people are going to start injecting it because it's the only thing that people aren't doing.
It reminds me, I don't know what age you are or what, but going back to my back in the day era on Saturday Night Live, the original Chevy Chase, you know, first season, there was a skit where Chevy is tying off like heroin, and then he's got a joint and he's trying to jam it into his vein, and the voiceover comes on and says, "Why do you think they call it dope?" Oh, my. Okay, so let's talk about your career just a little bit, Laura. You just, you know, Terry had mentioned you just got off the road with Lisa Lampanelli for how long?
It was about 2.5 years.
Wow. So any interesting, I imagine there's got to be some interesting things to mention about that. Is Lisa a supporter of the herb as well?
No. I found, though, the best way, like, when you're on the road and you don't know anybody, is to definitely talk about pot in your act. Because then when you're in the middle of nowhere, people will always smoke you up.
This is true. I agree with that. That is the one positive thing about talking about pot in your act. And, you know, you do get wonderful gifts.
I'll bet.
We may not get paid. I mean, we may not get paid. We may not be paid at the end of the show, but we definitely get a joint.
Definitely get a joint. Yeah. So, Laura, what I was wondering is, moving forward, what's happening in your career now, and where can people catch you in the future?
Well, right now I'm here. I'm writing a lot. I'm doing a lot of writing, a couple scripts, and I'm performing. And I am performing Wednesday night at Fay Dodo with the beautiful and talented Miss Terry Joyce, which is a great show. It's a bunch of women on stage just being completely honest about their lives and experiences. And it's really, you know, worth seeing.
Do you have
it really is.
Do you have like a MySpace or a website people can get in touch with you?
Type in my name, Laura Levitis. You can get my MySpace and my Facebook and all those wonderful things on the computer.
Great. We'll put links to those up on the Stash blog as well so people can click through to them. And Terry, how about, I mean, I know you're doing the show with Laura, but what else is happening for you lately?
Well, I've talked a lot about Comedy Nation and the Free Speech Show. And what's really wonderful is there's a new website called Strike TV. It's fairly new. It was created by those who, during the strike, they were the writers for Comedy Central, the Daily Show, and the Jon Stewart Show, and Stephen Colbert Report. They've started a new website, and the Free Speech Show has been picked up, and I will be taping the pilot for that this next Tuesday, which will be up and running online soon after that. Again, you know, we have the weekly show at Fay Dodo, which is at 5257 Adams Boulevard in Los Angeles, California. The show's from 9 o'clock, and there's music beforehand and afterwards. Also, the adult video that I wrote and I am appearing in is Hardcore Circus is now out. It was released Tuesday, June 16th. You can, if you Google it, Hardcore Circus, you can check out the website and the pilot. And just to let you know, though, if you do look at the website, it is for adults only.
Not safe for work. Mm-hmm. I say not safe for work, right?
Yeah, don't be shocked. You have to know what you're looking at.
That's right. We're all adults here. Well, Terry, thank you so much again for joining us here like you do on these Thursdays. And Laura, we're glad to have you here on the show, and we want to have you back sometime, and you can tell us a little bit more about what's happening with your career, too.
Thank you. It's a pleasure meeting you, and I hope you have a great day. And I love Portland. Portland is gorgeous.
Well, stop on up sometime, and we'll share a bowl.
Oh, great.
Can I come, too?
Well, of course, Terry. You're always invited.
We wanted, you know, it would be great to bring our show up there. That would be, you know, the...
Oh, we totally should.
Yep. Bring the show, and we'll be glad to promote it, and I'll be glad to show up there, too.
Great!
Yay! All right, we'll talk to you again next week, Terry. Thanks a lot, Laura. Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
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 Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the reminder that if you want to get involved in ending adult marijuana prohibition, it's up to you to take that notion to your government, and you can do so at Normal's Take Action page. It's really easy to find. Just go to stash.normal.org, and on the right side, look for the big map of the United States. If your state is red, that means there's something happening right now, and we need your help. But even if your state isn't red, click there anyway, because there's federal bills as well we want you to support, including the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act, the Industrial Hemp Farming Act, the National Criminal Justice Act, and Barney Frank's bill to end federal penalties for personal possession of marijuana. It all starts with you. Make your voice heard. Normal's Take Action Center, available through stash.normal.org and the Activist Alerts Map. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use, including a special exclusive interview with Karina Amato, the woman whose dog was murdered in a police raid in Baltimore, Maryland. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.